Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Rock and roll. Hey, real quick, can you, some of our volunteers are here. Would you guys give it up just real quickly for our volunteers that were here all week of VBS? They did a phenomenal job. Just the first year we did VBS, we just did a Saturday. And then last year, the whole world was crazy, right? It was different. And so we did online. And then this year we came back with three nights in a row. And so that's a little bit more volunteer work, a little bit more hours, but it was really, really cool because it was an opportunity to kind of build relationships. And so the first night, the kids were, you could see they were a little timid, not real sure. And then the second night, it's full on. They were ready to go. And then third night, really getting stronger on some of those relationships and them meeting some of their friends and their peers was really, really cool. And then our leaders, how they just invested and loved on and cared for and was there to support those kids in a really, really special way. I do want to give couple quick shout-outs for that week. Miss Jamie, Miss Rachel, thank y'all so much for all of your hard work for that week. The countless hours and tears and sweat and all that, you saw the hallway as they were walking through. And then there was a volunteers up here all day on Monday and Tuesday just setting up all those different pieces. So that's really, really great. Thank y'all so much. That is a big piece for our church, the Bridge Church. We believe one of our core values is to bridge the generations because we believe there's so much value there that we have generations that all the way from if you're thinking about I have this wisdom and I'm ready to pass that on down to the next generation and then the next generation and the next generation. And so we believe God can do some incredible things through generations. And that's actually what I want to talk about here today. Just for the next few moments, I believe that God has a word for us and God wants to speak to us during this time. We're going to be, if you have your Bibles, if not, we'll have it on your screens for you as well. But we're in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, and then Galatians chapter 6. Little B, I call him Big Papa Pump. He read Galatians 6, 9 for us this morning, but Galatians 6 and Joshua 2. But I want to pray for us, ask God just to speak to us during this time, and we just believe in what God can do as he encourages us this morning. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the opportunity just to be here together as a church to dive into your word. Thank you for those that are listening online. God, I pray that you would just use me. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that you may open our hearts just to receive your word and your hope and your encouragement, God. We love you. We ask all this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but my family loves this time of year. Really, it's every 4 years. And what's on right now? Every 4 years, the Olympics comes on, right? And we love watching the Olympics. You may not tune in to that, but our kids, especially our boys, they love to be on the go. And so I think they like to watch certain events and then picture themselves like, oh, you know, it's funny because they'll watch like a swimming event and they'll go, oh, I want to be a swimmer. I think I can be a swimmer, right? Then they'll watch pole vaulting. And then this year, surfing was a brand new sport, right? I was like, yes. And so surfing, and then you got the volleyball, and it's just pretty cool because you see all the different sports. And what I love about the Olympics is I was able to kind of lean over and tell my kids and go, in this event, these are the best in the entire world. The whole world is coming together to compete in this one event. And I thought that's a pretty cool statement to be able to say to them and for them to see, okay, they just won gold. That means they are the best in the world at this moment in time at this particular event. And so that's a pretty incredible feat. And as I was thinking about the message today, I thought about all of those athletes. And you have that moment of glory, right, where I hold up gold or I hold up silver, I hold up bronze, or maybe even just competing in the Olympics. Being invited to the Olympics is a feat in itself. Right? But I think about the 3 years before that, or the 5 years before that, or the 10 years before that, and what those same athletes were doing during that time. I mean, they were waking up early. They were staying up late. They were, I think about the swimmers that were in there swimming, and all of a sudden, they're practicing their swimming strokes, right? Like just hours on end. I mean, 10 years before the Olympics was even there, 3 years before the Olympics was there, just putting in hour after hour after hour. hour. And I began to think about that and those athletes, and I wonder, and I believe that there were moments in that training, moments in that time where they thought like, oh, I do not want to swim today, right? Like, I do not want to practice. I cannot lift my hand over one more time in this pool. In fact, is this even making a difference? Like, is this even working? Like, am I even getting better? Because maybe they're only seeing like an inch within the year or a second off of their time each 6 months, whatever it may be. And I'm sure the thought crossed their mind, this is not even working. And they have to wrestle through that discouragement, or wrestle through that. Is this even, and what I'm doing, is that even significant? Like, is this making a difference? And I can think back to my life, and I believe that each and every one of us, we maybe have thought that before. Maybe the day-to-day rhythms can get a little overwhelming, right? And it's like, I've been waking up, and I'm feeding this baby, but it doesn't look like it's making any difference, right? It doesn't look like I'm making any ground here, or I'm trying to teach this one person at work, and I'm just not making any headway, right? Or you get home at the end of the day and just weary and tired and going, am I even making a difference in this world? What am I doing even significant? Like, is it even holding on here? And I believe we can wrestle with that as humans, where we can wrestle with those details and what feels like monotonous day-to-day work. And I believe that God is calling us to see those moments. And I want to encourage each and every one of us today, not just for the big moments, but for those day-to-day moments where it can feel like it's insignificant. So the title of my message today is The Ripple Effect, The Ripple Effect. And to help us understand all of that and to give us some truth and some knowledge and some guidance and wisdom in that, I want us to look at a particular story in Joshua chapter 2. And to really set this up is that we have this group of people called the Israelites. And the Israelites are what the Bible calls God's people. It's who God selected to carry out his plan. And we see this happen through generation and generation. And then God says, I'm going to free you out of Egypt. And so God does some incredible things. He has this man named Moses who goes out in front of Pharaoh and says, I'm going to bring these 10 plagues. And finally, the Israelites are set free. And then he says, not only am I going to set you free, but I have a piece of land. I have this actual physical pieces of property that I have promised to you where you can restart, where you can set up. And so we're talking about thousands of people are headed out, led by Moses and headed towards this promised land. Well, Moses goes to the end of his life, and a new leader takes over, and his name is Joshua, right, where we get today. So he's a brand new leader. If you're starting something new, I encourage you to go read Joshua chapter 1. It's really encouraging to know how God leads through that transition. But anyway, Joshua chapter 1, he's leading, he's a new leader, and they get to the very first city that is in their way to get to the promised land, and it's the city called Jericho. And we know that a miracle comes here, but before that happens, before they move through the city of Jericho, the leaders get together, Joshua gets together and says, I want to send out 2 spies to go check this out, right? This military organization, they're saying, I want you to go out, I want you to check this land out, see what we need to do. So the 2 spies head out, they go into Jericho, they go into the city, and they're spying out and looking at what is happening. Well, word gets out to the king here at Jericho that there are 2 spies there. And so, of course, the king, he's not just going to sit back, he's looking for them. He's trying to hunt them down, and he wants to kill these 2 spies that are in their way. And this is where we pick up, because there is a particular woman who finds these spies. They're trying to hide. And they find this woman named Rahab, this unlikely woman Rahab here, then takes these men in. And it's incredible if you read all of chapter 2 for the sake of time. We're not going to read all of that. But it's great to hear her say the reputation that the Israelites have because God is on their side. She says things like, our hearts are shaken to the core in fear because we have seen what your God has done. We have seen the mighty things. We have heard the mighty things that your God has done. And so she hides these 2 spies. And then we pick up here in chapter 12. Everybody still with me? Still good? It says here in verse 12, it says, now then, please swear to me. So she is talking to the 2 spies here. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. I love that, how the spies, even they declare it in that moment, right? They're saying, when the Lord, that hasn't happened yet, when the Lord gives us this land, we will spare you and your family. And this may not look like a lot, right? Like, this may look like, okay, yeah, she helped them out, so now they're going to help her out. But what I love about this story is it's not just one random act of kindness. It's not just one random act of faithfulness. See, what we see here in this story is that Rahab will later, these men will be faithful and uphold their word. And then Rahab will later, about the age, scholars believe about the age of 50, she will convert to Judaism and she will move into their culture. And then Rahab marries a man named Salmon, and they have a son named Boaz. If you're looking for baby names, just write these down. Boaz, Salmon, Boaz. And then Boaz has a son named Obed. Obed has a son named Jesse. And then Jesse has a son named David. And I don't know if you remember the name David. This is King David who conquers Goliath. This is King David who takes over and moves God's people into new areas that they've never been before. This is King David that God looked down on his life and said, this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man after my own heart. This is King David. Now, I love that because this one, what seemingly insignificant, this one, like, oh, I'm just going to help this one family. I'm going to help Rahab because she helped me. I'm going to show her kindness. I'm going to be faithful to the word. I'm going to do this one thing for this one family, has this ripple effect for generations down. And now it's set up to where her family generationally gets down to King David. Not only that, think about this. 18 generations down, if you read Matthew chapter 1, we see King David move into the kingship, but then we later see multiple generations down now that the family lineage of Jesus, the Messiah, the one to come, comes through the family line of David. How amazing is it to look back at one act of kindness, one moment of going, I'm going to be faithful right here, right? I'm sure those spies didn't even have a clue that 18 generations later that the Messiah would come through this one lady, right? This one person's family, Rahab. And how amazing is it for you and I to know that when we place our obedience in a mighty God, our one act of obedience can affect and change generations. If you're taking notes here, God can use one act of obedience to change generations. And I think about this past week. I think about VBS. I think about every week how our team is investing in our youth and our Bridge Kids Ministries and all of those things. We don't know the impact that we are making. I think about all the parents in the house, right? Like all those sleepless nights, all of those moments where you're like, what I'm saying is like hitting a brick wall. Amen. Like, it's like, I don't even know if it's getting through, but we don't know what seeds God's going to water down the road. We don't know that maybe down the road how God can use those ripple effects to change generations, to change nations. And you and I, we have this opportunity to trust God with those one act, with those moments of obedience, those moments of one act of kindness, because we see some incredible things begin to happen. But I don't have to convince you, right? To believe that those acts of kindness, those seasons, those moments of life can get tiring, right? You're going, I don't know if I can do it anymore. I don't know if I can invest anymore. I don't know if I can invest in this relationship anymore. Maybe for me as a pastor, I want everybody that walks through these doors to give their lives to Jesus and be fully mature in about 2 minutes, right? Like, I'm just like, yes, I want people to experience the abundant life found in Christ, but it doesn't happen that way, right? It takes time. It takes those moments. It takes one act of obedience. It takes one act of kindness. It takes that investment time and time again for us to be there and to remain faithful. And one of my favorite verses that I go back to, as Bennett read to us earlier, I want to read Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and then we'll get ready to wrap up here. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Everybody still good? All right. Chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people." Who? All people, right? You know what all means in Greek? All, right? There you go. All people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I love that verse. Let us not become weary, because we can get weary in doing good. And I believe that sometimes the reason we get weary in doing good, we get weary in planting those seeds, is because we try to pick up the weight of making the harvest happen. We try to go, "I'm going to plant a seed, I'm going to plant a seed, I'm going to plant a seed. Now I need to see some production here," right? Like, I need to see some output. I need to see some harvest. I need to see some life change. I need to see you responding, right? And when we don't see it, right, and all of a sudden that weight comes on of going, "Oh, this feels insignificant. Oh, this is not happening as fast as I want it to. This is not happening the way I wanted it to. It's not happening in the timing. Like, come on, like, something needs to change." And we're putting on the weight that we're not meant to carry. And there's the truth here. It says our responsibility is to plant seeds of good and then to trust God with the timing of the harvest. I love this. It says that we will, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God is saying, "I want you to focus on planting the seed. I want you to focus on that one act of kindness. I want you to focus on that one act of obedience. I want you to focus on planting the seed and let me carry the weight of the harvest." You know where this hits me the hardest? I actually typed this out studying the scripture, and I just kind of sat back and I was like, "Oh, as a parent, I'm looking at this and going, whew. It's hard to sit back and trust God with the timing of the harvest, isn't it? It's hard to sit back and you just want to be like, come on, right? Like, let's go." And you see that. But my responsibility is to show up every morning and go, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to show up on Sunday morning. I'm going to show up at work. My job is to plant the seed. I'm going to show up in my marriage. My job is to plant the seed. It's to plant the seed. It's to plant the seed. I'm walking around looking for opportunities of going, okay, kindness here, obedience here, kindness here. And I'm going to keep planting. I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to grow weary, because at the right time, when their heart's ready, when my heart's ready, when the collective hearts are ready, God says, "I will bring the harvest." And with the harvest comes, you will not be able to take credit for it. You will not be able to say, "Woo, look what I did, this, and it all lined up." God is going, no, at that moment you can say, "I did everything I could, but God brought the water. God brought the harvest, and He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit," and it gives you and I opportunity to look back and go, "Look what God did. God used my simple one act of kindness, my simple one act of obedience," and look at the ripple effect that started. Look at the ripple effect that happened. I love this quote by Mark Batterson. It says, "Every act of kindness creates a ripple effect." Every act. What a profound statement. Every act. It's like you and I standing on the shore, and every time we show kindness, every time we take a step in obedience, it's like throwing a pebble in the pond. It's like throwing up every time. Boom, boom, boom. And the ripple effects just start to grow. We don't control the ripple effects. We throw the pebble, right? And I believe it is time for the Bridge Church. It is time for us to start some ripples in the low country. Amen. It is time for us to wake up and go, "I'm taking the weight of the harvest off my shoulders, and I'm ready to throw some pebbles in. I'm ready to create some ripples. I'm ready to show up, and I'm going to pay it forward some days while I'm in the drive-thru. I'm going to show up at work and be like, whoa, look, here's Dunkin' Donuts. You ready for this? Here you go." Like, moments is creating ripples effects. Hey, I'm going to take the extra time at work to train train you when nobody else is going to invest in you, when nobody else is going to do this. I'm going to take one act of kindness, and I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to wake up, and I'm ready. I'm going to do one seed of kindness for my kid. I'm going to do one seed of obedience into them. And all of a sudden, it's this ripple effect that begins to happen because we have to cling to the fact when it feels insignificant, when it feels like it's not making a difference, we trust in the fact that we serve a mighty God who can create this ripple effect, that it'll change. We believe that the seeds I plant now will affect generations. The seeds that I plant now will invest in those who continue to come. My job is not to grow weary and doing good, but keep creating ripples. And I believe that when you and I have that proper perspective in that place of where God is, we can rest, one, in the fact that we know, just like Waymaker, even when I don't see it, He's still working. Even when I can't see it, I believe that God is still working, but I am going to create those ripples. And I believe that God wants to do that in and through each and every person that can hear my voice. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the moments that we feel it is insignificant is an opportunity for you and I to plant those seeds. I want to leave you with this quote here and then one challenge. You guys ready? Ready for this? Okay, here we go. It says, this is one quote. I love this. It says, "We don't judge the success of the day by the harvest we reap, but by the seeds we sow." I'm going to read that one more time because I messed it up. "We don't judge the success of the day by the harvest we reap, but by the seeds we sow." I love that. My success, I can lay my head at pillow at night and I can rest in the fact, okay, I planted the seeds, God. Yeah, I did my job. I'm trusting in you for the harvest. I'm trusting in you for that. And I want to give you this challenge that we wake up, just give it this week and say, you know what, God? I'm going to wake up and each day I'm going to look for one simple act of kindness. I'm going to look for one simple act of obedience. I'm going to look for ways. Maybe you want to start with a prayer. God, show me a way for this one act of kindness. God, show me who you want to sow this into. Because it says this, we reap what we sow, right? And all I want to sow into that. I want to sow into this relation. I want to sow into those ripple effects. And so we have an opportunity to trust God at His word and plant those seeds. And our success is measured by the seeds we sow every single day. And we have that amazing truth to live by each and every day. And so I want to pray for us and just ask God, just speak to our hearts for God to guide us, God, direct us in this. Maybe for you, you're hearing all of this and you're like, mighty God, I'm not sure about all of that. I'd love to invite you into a conversation to where you can start a relationship with Jesus. I'd love to talk with you after service. I'll stay with you all day if we need to. And we'll kind of talk through that. We'll pray through that. I believe that God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that you can walk with Him daily. You can have that relationship with God. And it is amazing. It is fruitful. It is life-giving. And I believe that that can happen for your life as well. So I want to pray for us as a church. And then we have a couple of quick announcements as we get ready to close service here today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for each and every person that is in this room. Thank you for your word, God, and how it guides us, it directs us, it gives us wisdom, it gives us courage, it gives us boldness, God, it gives us rest. God, I just pray that each and every person in this room that today we take the weight of the harvest off our shoulders. God, we take the weight of trying to make all of those things happen, God, but yet we transition our focus and rest in the fact that, God, my work is in planting the seed. My work is in those simple act of obedience. My work is in that planting those seeds of kindness every place that I can go, God. And I'm praying and believing that you will take those seeds, God, and that you will create ripple effects all throughout the Low Country, God. And I believe you are a big and a mighty God, that those ripple effects will continue to go for generations to generations to generations because of one simple act of kindness, God. I pray that we see that it is not insignificant, God, that you can use it for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.